Good day, everyone. This is Brenda speaking. Welcome to SSRQ Plenary Call Number 72 on the 6th of June 2019 at 1400 UTC. Members joining the call today are Denise, Norm, Russ, Jabera, and I have a phone number that just joined ending in 610. Could you identify yourself, please?
Yeah, this is Alan. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you very much.
Good.
Danavid is here.
I'm sorry, repeat your name.
Navid.
Thank you very much. Navid and Elaine have joined. We have observers Stephen Deerhake from ICANN organization, Jennifer, Nagar, Larissa, Steve, Sharla, and Brenda. And we do have apologies from Danko, Lauren, Eric, and Carrie Ann. Today's meeting is being recorded. Please state your name before speaking for the record and kindly mute your audio when not speaking. And I'll turn the call over to Russ. Thank you.
The first thing on the call is a status on where we are with the tech writer.
Hello, everybody. This is Larissa Gurnick. As we communicated to the leadership team, I can give you a quick update, which is the same status update. Since the relationship between the technical writer and ICANN has ended, we will find another resource that is available and well-suited to do the work. We'll keep the leadership team informed of the progress and are targeting to have a candidate profile to share as soon as possible. We understand the critical nature of the next several weeks and continue to work very diligently to resolve the situation. Thank you.
Yeah, hello.
Go ahead.
Hello, this is Alan. Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Okay, good. I want to ask a question about the technical writer. Do we really know the motivation? Okay, I think he said something political correct, but do we know the motivation for how to withdraw so that we can take anything from that when we are recruiting a new technical writer?
Russ, do you, this is Larissa, do you want me to respond to that?
Yes, please.
So the technical writer had worked on the assignment for approximately 2 weeks, and the termination was based on mutual agreement, because she stated that this assignment would not work for her under the current terms and wanted to renegotiate the terms of the agreement. That was the reason for the mutual agreement to terminate.
Hi, this is Denise. Could you put me in the queue, please?
Yeah. So Denise, follow me. Can I do a follow-up?
Yes.
Okay, so that means she's still available for discussion. Maybe it's just a matter of agreeing on new term of the contract. She's still available, or is we are just closing that chapter and open a totally new chapter?
Thank you for the question. This is Larissa again. I'm not able to discuss the details of this, as I'm sure you understand this is a contracting, a personnel matter, but we no longer have the option of opening that discussion. We will not do that, and we're looking for a new resource.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, this is Navid. Can I say something?
Okay, Denise is next.
Okay. Please let me know when I can speak because I'm on phone, please. I cannot see anything. I cannot access Zoom.
Yes, I'm also on the phone and not yet in the room as I'm in transit. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, go ahead.
Yep, thanks. I think a little bit more background it would be useful for team members. The technical writer that we selected was unilaterally dismissed by staff without discussion with the leadership team. We're playing catch up and gathering all of the facts. We've asked that the technical writer be reinstated. The technical writer has provided us with all the background information indicating that she's ready and willing, and her schedule is still cleared to support us. We've asked that she be reinstated, and that's where we are. We're incredibly concerned that staff has dismissed a writer that the review team has chosen and I think was working well with the team. And of even more importance was that we've got the work plan that we're now behind on and the draft report that is going to be really difficult for the team to deliver in the Marrakesh timeframe. The substantial amount of work that the writer was doing and is teed up for the writer to do is not being handled by anyone. It took about 3 months for staff to get this writer on board. I've been doing this for over 2 years, volunteering my time. I don't know that with yet more extensive delays, I can continue to set aside a substantial amount of my personal time to continue to volunteer on a team that does not really have the support that it needs. I'll stop there.
Go ahead, Naveed.
This is Naveed. Hi, everybody. My concern is like I think this dismissal put us at least 2 months behind schedule, because the 3 days we spent in Brussels and she was on board with what we were doing, understanding the process, discussing all the recommendations, the draft ones. I don't think we can have it unless we have another face-to-face with that new technical writer, and that is not possible, as I see, before Marrakesh. And Marrakesh, we had to be one step ahead, like as Denise mentioned. So there has to be a very solid grounds to have it done, because it puts us well behind schedule. So this is my concern. Thank you.
Larissa, go ahead.
Thank you, Russ. Just to clarify, this was not a unilateral dismissal. Angie had worked on the assignment for approximately 2 weeks, from 15th of May to the 31st of May. And we're not even sure the number of hours, which we're hoping that she will submit her invoice, but it was a 2 week period approximately. And again, we did not terminate Angie from this assignment. It was not a unilateral dismissal. Rather, she stated that the assignment would not work for her under the current terms.
So, Larissa, I have to respond to that we're hearing different things from Angie that are contradictory. And so somebody is not being honest with us here. And puts us in a really tough spot.
I appreciate that, Russ. This is Larissa. I appreciate the difficult situation because we are not involved in the conversations that you are hearing from Angie and in those discussions. I continue to not be able to comment on any of that. The information that I'm sharing with you is all I can say, given that this is a personnel and HR matter.
This is Denise. So it's a, what is not a personnel matter is that this is supposed to be an independent community review team. The review team, through its leadership, selected the technical writer, oriented her, and the team started working with her. We use the term unilateral because staff did not have any discussions with the leadership team before you initially capped her hours in working with the review team and then dismissed her. There was no discussion before those actions occurred. In addition to the team not having a technical writer at a very critical time in building this report, and presumably we have to wait another 3 months to get a new one on board, and we've asked for our technical writer that we selected to be re-engaged. There's an important process issue here as well. Without any consultation with the team, you have taken away our right to select the consultant we work with and to work with that consultant. And with taking these actions without any discussion with the leadership team is what we call unilateral action. So there's an important process issue that's a problem, not only for this team, but if you're doing it for other teams, it's, I think, a problem for them as well. So, thanks. I don't know that there's much else to discuss here, but other team members may have questions.
If I may, I'd like to respond to Denise and just respond to several things that you said, Denise. You mentioned that we capped her hours. That is not accurate. And as I mentioned to the review team leadership, there was a total number of hours that was agreed to. And when we had an understanding of the hours that were necessary, more hours up front, perhaps less hours later, we asked Angie if she was prepared to be flexible, and she was not. So we did not cap her hours. Also, you mentioned that there would be a 3 month wait to engage another technical writer. And we never said that there would be a 3 month wait. All I said is that we're working very diligently and urgently to get a replacement as soon as possible. And finally, you said that it's a process issue that we took away your right to select a technical writer, and we did not take away your right to select an independent writer, because once we have suitable profiles available, we will once again come back to you for you to review the profile and make your selection, just like you did in the case of Angie. Thank you.
So I don't know that there's much to be gained by continuing this, but we have all the emails from the technical writer. So the facts that she's provided us are documented. Some of the problems you apparently and disconnects you apparently have with the writer and with the review team probably could have been resolved if you had talked to the leadership about the parameters and hours of the technical writer before dismissing her. And since the last engagement, technical writer took 3 months to actually get her working with the team, I can only base my estimate on what has actually occurred. With staff telling us that they were working as quickly as they could to get a technical writer, it took about 3 months. So that's why we're, based on those facts, concerned it's going to take that long, because that's the facts we have to base this on. And again, the leadership team has asked that Angie be reinstated. So, and this is for the rest of the team to know, that's where we stand right now with the support that we need to finish the draft report. Thanks.
Hello.
Seeing any more hands?
Hello.
Go ahead.
Yes, this is Matogoro speaking. I have shared out my view through the chat, and I will request that it will be taken as my contribution on the issue that we are currently discussing. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who wants to speak who's on the phone? I don't see any hands.
This is Naveed. I just want to know if we or the leadership team has discussed about any delay in the work that this may cause eventually to the work that we are doing. So how to deal with this situation now? So what we are planning for?
Well, Naveed, we've had this information less than a week, and frankly, we spent most of the time trying to understand what's going on. I think we heard Larissa say earlier in the call that they plan to find someone quickly, but they have not offered a date. It's really hard for me to figure out what to do other than to keep going, so that when we do have a tech writer, they have both the recommendations and the finding texts to process. But I don't think we will be in a position to make any kind of presentations until we have the tech writer on board for several weeks. Okay, we've used 20 minutes of our time. I'd like to see if we can move on to the recommendations at this point. We do have about half of the team on the call. So, Carrie just posted something in chat. Yeah, I think what Carrie Ann posted in chat is similar to what I just said. So, Jennifer, would you put into chat the Google Doc pointer that is on the, there's a link in the agenda, but of course you can't click it there. Thank you. So since we have about half of the team, I'd like to know whether people have concerns with any of the words that have been put into the Google Doc. Obviously, some of this was just added overnight, so we'll need to go through this kind of step by step. So looking at the first suggestion, that is not new. That was exactly as it was last week. Same for recommendation 4 and 5. Recommendation 7 is been edited. So if people would take a look at that, let me know if there's any concerns.
This is Casey. Sorry, I came a little late. I'll have to go read the transcript for the part that I missed about the tech writer because I'm confused about all that. But anyway, recommendation 7, and it kind of points to a larger problem I'm having with the text as it's currently written. It references recommendation 22, and as someone who had to struggle to go figure out where the old recs were yesterday, and I suspect this document's going to be kind of long, I'm wondering if we're really going to have this reference recommendation 22 and not explain what it is. That's part of my concern. My related concern is that we've got this whole other document, the review of the original recommendation, SSR 1, that extensively reviews what has and hasn't been implemented, and then or our take on it anyway, and then makes revised recommendations or claims that a recommendation is still relevant if we think it is. So I'm wondering about how to streamline this, because I feel like we already say in the SSR1, they should go do this that we don't think was implemented or had its intended effect. And now we're kind of saying it again here as recommendation 7. Is that on purpose, or how is that going to get streamlined later? What's the plan?
Yes, that's on purpose. If you look at the CCT report, what they is a section up front that gives all the recommendations.
Okay.
Then they go into the findings, their reasoning, and then present each of the recommendations a second time. What we're doing here is just trying to collect the recommendations, because once we see the recommendations, we believe we'll be clustering them to make, the ones that go together. And then we'll be able to make the rest of the report flow. So yes, you're right. Right now it's 2 places. And I think in the end, it'll be in the summary, and then, but only once in the, when you explain the whole process of our findings and what recommendation those findings led to.
Okay. My related question is that if you do go to recommendation 22 in the SSR1 document, it says, immediately it references 20 and 21, recommendation 20 and 21, which is also related to, I guess, budget transparency, but maybe not in the SSR, maybe not in the GTLD context, the new GTLD context. I can't even remember at this point. But my question is that going to get streamlined later? And there's a suggestion down below in this document about combining 20, 21, and 22, but I think that's ironically a different 20, 21, and 22. I think that's the new 20, 21, and 22. But my concern is that the old 21 and 20, 20, 21 and 22 are also perhaps merit being combined for the purposes of recommendation 7, because I don't understand why we would have a GTLD specific recommendation about SSR related issues and budgeting and transparency when we say the same thing about SSR in the larger context. Now we might need to go back into the old doc to understand what I'm talking about. But anyway, my concern may be a purely issue of tech writing. And so it would be good if we had a tech writer. I know I'm not going to bring up that can of worms again, but I just feel like there's stuff going on that a single person who's responsible for bringing coherence into the document could handle, and we wouldn't have to waste time on the call doing it, I think.
Okay, to make sure we don't lose your thought, I just added a comment to the document. Should recommendations 2021-22 be referenced here?
Yes.
Okay. Just to make sure we don't lose it, and I completely agree with the last sentiment. That's exactly the kind of work that I intended to make it all flow. Like I said, finding the parts that belong together and clustering them.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, that's my only comment right now for this one.
All right. Thank you for being thorough. Okay, I'm not seeing any hands. Are there people on the phone that want to comment on recommendation 7? Okay, hearing none, let's look at 9. I think this was added since last week. Okay, I'm not hearing anything or seeing any hands. So let's move to 10, which is the one that calls for a C-suite position.
Can we go back to 9 a little bit? I'm a little confused. My understanding is that we've sort of had this exchange with ICANN on 9 about what they are to be transparent about, and I'm concerned that we're convolving two issues about threat intelligence, which is a pretty broad scope phrase, and the issue of registrars that are engaged in or seem to be harboring a lot of domains that are used for malicious activities. But I think we need to be more precise in what we mean about role in distributing threat intelligence, and I think we also would need to be cognizant of that we've already had the conversation with them and they've expressed their reasons for not being able to be more transparent about the at least the registrar blacklist issue that has to do with proprietary data feeds. Otherwise, I suspect this recommendation will die in a sea of we've already had that conversation kind of sentiment.
There were a bunch of people in Brussels who said, yes, but we want to get whatever is possible to get out of that. And maybe there's other sources for some of this information that don't have the restrictions and they would like that explored.
Okay. Maybe the recommendation should be more explicit about that, because if I put myself in ICANN shoes, I don't know what is wanted here. How do I know this one's done?
There was also an aspect of this, and I can't remember who had the action, where some information could be released, but not right away. And I think that's why the periodic release was put in here.
Well, okay. The first sentence needs some editing because it says periodic release of needs. I don't think that's what we mean there. I guess it's periodic release of information. No. But I think we need to be clear about what we think is actionable there. Is it just that we want the names of registrars that have a lot of abuse reports or that are listed in the blacklist? One of my concerns with the blacklist is nobody's validated the integrity of the blacklist. So if ICANN were to release a set of bad registrars based on proprietary blacklists that it can't share the methodology for, who's going to take what action then? How's it going to hold up in court? So it looks like the superior problem then is acknowledged in this recommendation.
Hello? Yes, I was the one who worked on the recommendation 9, and what I've noted is that from the previous drafts, it showed that the recommendation, there are more extra information that need to be provided to guide the law enforcement agencies and as well as the policy makers. So I think the way the DAL report are being released, there are still a lot of information need to be improved. So I think I also support the KC input that we need to find out the actionable items that we need to include so that it is clearly indicated the activities or work that need to be done by ICANN to improve the recommendation. Otherwise, what I saw from the previous draft is that the way the DAL report is being currently released, it is not enough to guide the police enforcement organization and other stakeholders. So that need to be improved. And maybe we can try to rephrase so that we capture that input. Thank you.
Russ, to try to move this forward, do you want me to take the assignment to write something here?
I'd be thrilled for you to do that, but first, do you count it as your agenda?
Whoops, I couldn't hear that. You got muffled.
Sorry, Steve Conte has his hand up. Let's see what he has to say. Then I'd love to give you an action item.
Yeah, okay, Steve.
Thanks, Russ. Just to address Casey's point of earlier point in the beginning of this discussion about about staff not having exactly sure, boy, words are hard this morning, about the direction to take for implementation. As some of you know, I went through a first pass informally and provided suggestions and comments and stuff to the document, and I hesitate to do that every time there's an edit. So, you know, I'm looking, and this is in my, you know, as an individual, not necessarily as the organization, and I'll get back to that point in a second. I look at it and would try to make suggestions on how to get it to a point where when there's a time for staff review prior to releasing it, then we might be in a better place. And I think what, you know, so I'll do that periodically through the document cycle, but I think what I'd like to suggest, if it's not already in the plan, is once, you know, the recommendations are pretty well baked, then we should give those who will be implementing an opportunity to look at these recommendations, because right now the visibility on these recommendations are small and limited to a few number of staff, and getting too many people involved too quickly could further slog and delay the process. So I think you guys, from my perspective, are on the right track and trying to tighten it up, but before the draft is released to the wild, or, you know, almost ready to be turned into a final, then having that opportunity for those who will be implementing to be able to question and hopefully further refine the recommendation. So it is implementable, it is measurable, and we can, you know, move forward in a positive state there.
Steve, do you think that should be done before we release them to the community, or simultaneously? Because we're going to get in all kinds of directions.
I think simultaneous would be fine too. You know, in especially in, you know, the question of timeliness and everything else, I think that would be fine. I just want to be, I guess the main point is before it's a final and submitted to the board and all that, the staff who will be responsible for implementation should have a opportunity to look at the relevant recommendations that they're responsible for and make sure that any questions have been answered that they might have as far as the implementation goes.
So, Steve, in the original plan, that could have happened twice. I'm not sure now. once as just the summary of the recommendations, and then once again when we had a draft report that went up for public comment.
Okay, so I guess I leave it to the team to determine when would be a good time to pull in the relevant, you know, when these recommendations are considered baked enough, you know, when to pull in the relevant ICANN staff members to take a look at them. So we don't get into a ambiguity that we hit on some of the recommendations from the first SSR.
We all want to avoid that, yes.
Thank you.
Not seeing any other hands, so KC, if you'll take a whack at this one, that'd be great.
Let me just ask Steve, since he's, I mean, I know he wouldn't be on point for this, but am I worrying too much about this recommendation 9 text specifically in the context of what you just said?
No, I think the points that you raised are valid, and you're right, I'm not on point for the implementation on this, and I know because it's still my team that will be on point for this, and I know that there's been some discussions about like specifically registrar data and stuff, and I know that it's an ongoing process, but I don't have personally the words to suggest how to strengthen that recommendation to hit the reality of what's taking place through the evolution of DAR. And okay. So I'd want someone like John or someone from John Crane or someone from his team to look at it, because they're the ones who are actively working on it in order to better guide the language on that recommendation so it aligns with in this case, you know, in some cases, you know, it might be different, but in this case, align it with the work that's actually already being done to pull in some registrar data as well into DAR. So I was just using this as an example of how we can work together, you know, because, you know, we're part of the community too. And so we want to make sure that whatever, you know, whatever recommendations come out are, implementable, I guess is the key word. And we've said that before, but, you know, aligned with the direction that's going and where the budget already exists, you know, for moving forward with this.
Okay. All right, I see Denise's comment too. I'll go read that, take that into account, and maybe have a phone call with John or Dave and write this one by next week, or try to rewrite this one by next week, Russ, so you can add it to my homework.
Thank you. I'm sure Jennifer captured that action. All right. Steve, is that a new hand?
No, thanks. Sorry about that.
Moving to recommendation 10, I heard from Carrie Ann in chat that she copied some stuff across that she meant to delete, so she's going to take care of that. So we probably should wait till next time to look at that text.
Hi, Ross. It's Carrie. I think I've been trying to accept the changes in the Google Docs and pay for the cost, but every time I do, it's carrying across the track changes. So I'm not the best with, I don't know if I need to take suggestion off or anything, but it's capturing, it's taking across all the tracks. So I've tried again to copy it and I'm getting the same result. I don't know if anyone else could help. I could read it as to do it, but...
So, no exception.
I could read it without the deletions out of it.
Yeah, no one can accept changes to this for that. The way it was set up, we're trying to give the text writer control. So the idea was you do an edit and then paste the text into this Google Doc. Anyway, that was probably some detail that you just are not seeing face-to-face and helpful. I'm not sure what the right answer is.
But just so you know, though, that the text is, updated the text and made the recommendation specific to having an officer at the level to coordinate security and staff security risk. So I just made the text a little tighter. So whoever can carry it across with the edits accepted, I think they could, and it included a footnote with reference to a document that I think we could include in the final report as a reference.
Understand. Okay. We'll have to have a discussion on how best to address the accepting issue. We thought we had a plan then, but it assumed that Angie would be there to do the editorial part. Okay, 13 was added since the last call as well. Okay, I'm not seeing any hands on that one. I don't remember whether 28 was here last time or not, so let's take a look at it. Okay, I'm not hearing any concerns on that one. 36 was intended to gather a whole bunch of different things together from different previous recommendations. So this is one of the ones that merged a bunch of parts together. Take a look at that one.
It's Carrie again. It's a similar issue. I think some of the tracks came across, but in the other Google Doc, the recommendation has been reordered in terms of the sequence of the list of specific requests that we would want them to do. And so I'm hoping that when it goes across, it will be a little bit clearer once we get it copied over. But I restructured the order of the list of the list of things that are there. It's just to get it.
Okay, I'm not seeing anybody having concerns with what's there. And then down below the suggestions, there's some more recommendations. We talked about 39 last week. And there's a merge of 15 and 29 after that. So let's take a look at that. Okay, not hearing anything. Oh, I see a hand. Carry on.
I'm okay with the text, but the only thing that I was wondering is the second sentence starts off, these best practices. I'm just wondering, are we giving them any practices that we derive? Is it something that, if it is that you're going to work with our staff to develop them, is there like a specific, when we reference in our wider reports that have come up before that we consider that our best practices, like who will be the determinants of what we are thinking are best practices, if that makes sense.
So the discussion in Brussels was...
where are we asking them to reference?
we were asking them to. Sorry, I lost the tail end of what you said. Okay, well, I can say that when the discussion in Brussels was that El Root should be the flagship one demonstrating how to provide a route service and be there to take the capacity if any of the others were to fall short. In fact, I think we went so far as to say if all of the others were to fall short.
We need to be explicit about that, because when it says L route should ensure that L route is capable of handling all route traffic, especially DOS attacks. I can't hear Carrie at all. No.
Carrie, we cannot understand you at all. Okay, Casey, maybe Carrie Ann can type what she would
like. Yeah. I mean, and I'll just type it in the document right now. I think if you really meant it, all the other routes go down, L route can handle all the traffic to all the hundreds of Anycast servers around the world, which is a big, high threshold. But if that's really what you meant, you need to say so explicitly.
That is the discussion that took place in Brussels.
I'm not sure it's reasonable expectation. If every other Anycast node of every other route is disabled, we're in a world of hurt, and I don't think ICANN's going to be able to save us, quite frankly.
Yeah. So, what do you think?
Well, that's a good question. I guess I'm not convinced we should apply rules to ICANN and we're not applying to the rest of the root server community.
Yes, but I'm not sure we as a team have a mechanism to recommend to the rest of the root server community something.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't disagree with you. Let me start with that.
Right. And I mean, the other issue is we don't, and this goes back to another recommendation. What actually is that level of traffic?
Right. I mean, right.
And who tracks it? And you know, this whole thing is in play now with the whole hyper local route stuff. So this recommendation might get overtaken by events, and I think we should be cognizant of that. ICANN has already taken on the work in discussing hyperlocal route as a specific way to mitigate this risk of the routes being DOSed out of service. So I think for us to ignore that and just put in this recommendation, no, they have to be infinitely capable of withstanding all DOS attacks, it's not reasonable. It makes us look out of touch with other possible solutions and reality.
Yeah, this is Norm. Sorry, just a barge in here. The discussion on that was not only concerned about DDoS attacks, it was also the fact that there is no contractual agreements with any of the root operators.
Yeah. I'm not sure how to. It's a complex space that I don't think we're capturing with this current wording, I guess. I mean, handling all root traffic in the case of a DOS attack against the roots, it's infinite, right? You can, there's no way to invest your way out of being attacked by DOS. There's just more machines than there are Anycast. There are more machines in the world than there are Anycast servers. So if we want to say the ICANN needs to invest to ensure the resiliency of the root systems in the case of attacks on institutions with whom it doesn't have contractual SLA obligations with, we need to allow for there to be other solutions than just there's infinite bandwidth and capacity on LRoot.
You're right. Would you like to put a comment in the document, please?
Me?
Yes, a comment.
Okay, we'll do right now.
There's a difference.
Okay, so move on. I'll do this as we talk.
Okay. There's only one more to talk about. Okay, and that's the one below it, combining recommendation 20, 21, 22, and 23. And yes, those are not SSR1 recommendations. They were our earlier. Okay, so I'm not hearing any concerns here.
No. You're on 20, 21, 22, 23 now?
Yeah.
I think the memo I sent last week from SSR2, when you guys asked me, has SSR2 put any time into defining abuse? I sent back a memo, a link to a GNSO document from 2010, which went extensively into this community-ish derived process for defining abuse, and it's not consistent with the wording in this set of paragraphs right now. Specifically, I don't think there is any agreed definition of abusive naming or abusable naming. And in particular, the GNSO document goes out of its way to say the registration of a name is not an abuse. It's the use of it that's an abuse, or some use of it that's an abuse. So I don't know what abusive naming means or abusable naming. And if we're going to introduce those terms, we need to define them and probably cite some other definition. I can write it in the document too, Russ. But no, I think this one is far from ready because we have to be really precise about what it is we want stopped. And presumably cite somebody else that's come up with it if there is some other source of a definition, or say that this needs to have a definition because it still doesn't have one, which I'm not sure we can do that, but in any event, this one needs more discussion. So I see we've sort of defined it here. Sorry to speak too fast, but including but not limited to. But I think that we probably need to at least say, again, in the context of ICANN being able to know when they've implemented this, we need an exhaustive list of everything we know about. My comment earlier, which seems to have disappeared on visually indistinguishable, is who's going to decide that they're visually indistinguishable? we've got that phrase in quotes, which means we should define what we mean by it. Yes, names continue to remain so far as what type is.
I think that's a situation where the findings text is going to help a lot, but I do think you're right about having to align with other documentation on abuse. And you're right, the registration of something that is visually indistinguishable isn't a problem until someone uses it for a phishing or something.
Well, again, I might push back on that. We might decide as a group that that's not acceptable, because you can't just, even the registration of a visually indistinguishable name by some definition of what that is, it could be considered something we need to stop. We need to recommend that ICANN prevent. Probably ESSAC might agree with that. I don't know where they are on that topic, but in any event, we have to acknowledge that as an issue, that, you know, this has not been declared abusive, and we think it needs to be declared abusive, and it needs to be prevented.
Right. I think that's where this was going. At that, we don't all know the answer here, and you're right. What's visually indistinguishable may actually be cultural. But there are some that are exactly the same. And of course, then it depends what font you displayed it in, right, and all of that. But yes, more work is needed here.
Okay.
We are 1 minute from the end, so I think we're going to stop here. Please finish the rest of the recommendations so that the work of the team doesn't stop while we sort out the issue discussed at the top of the call. Turn to Jennifer for the summary of actions.
Great, thank you, Russ. This is Jennifer. So Casey took an action to provide a suggested rewrite for recommendation 9 by next week. The review team members are all to continue finishing and editing the draft recommendations. And then I noted an action for staff to copy the Google document into the SSR2 team drive and find a solution to the editing access at the moment. Thanks.
Thank you for that last one. Especially. Thank you. All right, I think we're done.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, everyone. Bye. Okay.